worshiping with us at home today, and to those who are on site this morning, to our New Hope family, different locations, but one body together in Jesus, lifting up the name of Jesus in praise and glory, welcome. It's good to be together this morning to worship again, isn't it? It's so nice. It's good to be together, to know that you're there. Hey, if you're watching with us online this morning on Facebook and you want to, do me a little favor in the comments, just put, hey, I'm here. Hey, good morning, church. Hey, so happy to be here this morning. Let us know that you're here if you're watching online this morning. Well, as I jump in, I want to tell a story of stories today. So for our younger folks are here, and some of the others that maybe kind of likes the Star Wars theme. Can you tell me what is that on the screen here, to either side of you, or if you see it at home, what is it on the screen? Mandalorian, isn't it? And Baby Yoda, right? That's the most important part. Yeah. And so in the story of the Mandalorian, you have the bounty hunter who's the Mandalorian, and the Mandalorian has been chosen, has been hired, and in a sense has this calling to has to find this creature called the Child, who we know as what? Who again? Baby Yoda. That's right. That's right. And so, as to find the Child and turn the Child in, hand the Child over, and after a little while, the antagonist in the first season is trying to chase the Mandalorian down, the bounty hunter, so that he can take the Child for his own purposes. And the Mandalorian has this sort of crisis of belief moment where he has to decide, what am I going to do? And in almost every episode, there is this moment where the Mandalorian stops. You know those dramatic pauses, like right now? And has to decide, what am I going to do? And every time that the bounty hunter decides, he says the same thing. If you know what it is and you're at home, if you've seen it and you know what he says, just four words, and if you know what it is, type it in the chat this morning in the comments so you can see that. Does anybody here know what the bounty hunter, the Mandalorian, says every time? This is the way. And so not about necessarily for him, but for his whole people group of the, right? So the bounty hunters, this is the way. There's a code by which they live by. And so he has this crisis of belief and decides, this is the way. This is the right thing that I must do. There's a calling. There's a cost, because every time he's in almost every episode, it's costing him something. His ship's getting shot at, broken down, or you know, he's almost giving his life to save, you know, who? Baby Yoda. There we go. And so in that, it's always costing him something, and he has to make a choice. There's a calling, a cost, a choice. Chapter 2. There was a young man by the name of Elisha. And Elisha was out one day in his family's farm, and he was out there hooked up, has a plow hooked up to a yoke of a couple oxen. And there's 11 other guys out there, and they're all working the land. They're tilling it up with the plow. And so as they're out there, they're working, and the 11 workers are out in front. And for some reason, don't know why, but Elisha is bringing up the rear. And when he's out there just working, here comes the prophet Elijah up to him. And the prophet Elijah walks up to Elisha, and he takes this cloak that he wears, maybe something like what we sort of see in the picture, don't really know, but it's made of animal hair. And he takes it and he places it on Elisha, who's out there working in the field. And Elijah just keeps walking. It's kind of weird. Like, who does that? Just walks up behind you, puts a cloak on you, and it's like, peace, and just keeps walking. Nobody does that, right? That's weird. But that's exactly what the prophet Elijah does. And when he does that, I wonder if Elisha saw him coming or if he just like totally jumped You ever not pay attention and somebody puts their hand on you, you know, you don't succumb, like, woo! But Elisha stops working, and Elisha walks over to Elijah. And Elisha says to the prophet, he says, "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I'll come with you." And so Elisha has his plow and has his oxen, and he burns the plow because it's made of wood. So he burns the plow. He takes his one or two of the oxen that are hooked up, they're yoked together, and he cooks them, or somebody in the family cooks them, right? Butcher them and then cook them, and then their family has this feast. They have this party, if you will. And it's kind of a sending off party for Elisha, because Elisha is going to follow Elijah. And in fact, at the end of the story here in this passage of 1 Kings, it says Elisha went and he went with Elijah. That's a pretty cool story, isn't it? You know, that story came with a cost. You know, Elisha and his family, they had this. What is this? They had money. Right? I don't think in the day they were going, "We're making it rain up." I don't think they were doing that. But they had money, because if they had enough farm that they needed 12 people to be working 12 separate plows, and therefore they had 24 oxen out in the field working at the same time, that meant that in that day they had money. They were somewhat wealthy and therefore probably had some means of influence and comfort, provision, safety within that family unit. And so when Elisha says, "You know what, I'm just going to burn this plow, and I'm going to burn these oxen so we can have this big party, and I'm going to walk away from the comfort of these nice provisions of being wealthy. I'm going to sacrifice that. And I'm going to go follow the prophet Elijah and wherever he goes." And what I know about a prophet is that, and see, in the day and time, they knew about the office of being a prophet. So they knew what that meant for life, right, in the way you lived. And it was a humble means of life. And it was a life of traveling. It was a life that people knew you, but often you weren't popular. Why wouldn't a prophet be popular? Because a prophet, their job was to tell people as a representative of God that they need to repent, turn from their waywardness, and turn their hearts back to believing and following in God, living by that covenant with God. People love it when you tell them that they need to turn around and live life a different way, don't they? People just love that. Just kidding, not really. Because naturally, we typically just don't, in our human self, want to hear someone tell us that we are in a wrong path and we need to shift and go a better, healthy way. It just doesn't typically sit rest well. Now, we may mature and grow in that, but it just doesn't always sit too well to hear that. So, you know what? Guess what? He's not going to be popular. In fact, shortly before Elijah was coming to Elisha, Elijah had been running for his own life because Jezebel, the queen, was trying to kill him for the words that he had said and what he had done with the prophets of Baal and having them murdered. And she is, whoo, up to here, and she wants him dead. So he's running. He's like, "Hey, you come and do what I'm doing. It'll be fun, I promise." There was a calling. There was a cost, and there was a choice. Chapter 3. So Jesus is standing around with his disciples. He's already been raised from the dead, and the disciples are with him, and he's talking to them, and he's giving them this great commission, which we know from Matthew chapter 28. And when he's with them, he tells them, he says, "Here's the deal." He says, "Guys, listen, guys, I want you to go to Jerusalem. And I want you to kind of just hunker down. I want you to hang out there. And when you're there and you're waiting, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And when you receive power from God from on high, from the Holy Spirit, you're going to go out locally and regionally and out into the known world, and you're going to influence the world with the good news, with my gospel, with the good news of who I am and why I came and what I've done and what I have yet to do. Don't forget the last part. Because in the last part lies our hope. And Jesus is saying, I'm calling you to those folks, right? He says, I'm calling you. I want you to go bear fruit in the world. I want you to go bear fruit making disciples wherever you go. I want you to go pass on the mantle of this faith to other generations. If you know the Gospels, you know that's not the first time that Jesus had instructed them to go out and to go talk to people about who he was. He had done this multiple times before, but this particular time was very special because this time was going to be followed with the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And when the Holy Spirit would come upon the disciples in the upper room where they're gathered, it would seal God's choice to call them out, to be his people, his church, his group of followers, to be set apart, to go out into the world and to share the good news, to be a body of people who would reflect his character out in the world. But for 3 years, he had been telling them, I'm sending you out, but here's the thing. Now, everybody wants to hear what you got to say. And when you tell some people, they're going to be so frustrated, angry at you, they're going to fight back. And for some of you, when they fight back, you're going to lose your life. Oh, and when you go out, you're going to be relying on me to provide you not just the words that you need, but the courage and the boldness and the provisions to sustain you on the way. Guys, I'm calling you, he says, but I'm also telling you that there is a cost. And there's a choice. Chapter 4. Our story. So we've talked about others. Let's talk about the church for a moment, shall we? So our calling, our story. We are the church. We, the people of God, are the church. So it doesn't matter if you're in infusion here in a youth ministry and you know Jesus, you are part of the church. It doesn't, if you're young in Hope Kids, you're coming up. And you're hearing and you're learning and you're choosing to believe and you're part of the church. You're engaged, loving Jesus, and you're part of the church. You're parenting little kids and you're about to pull your hair out. And you're part of the church. You're retired. You spoil your grandkids, you send them home. Why did that get the most response? I know you probably didn't hear it at home, but I'm telling you, on the grandparent part, that was the biggest response. And you are part of the church. Your story. Knowing Jesus Christ, please hear me, is to know that you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You have been called by God. You have been set apart by God. Not to be just like the rest of the world, which is, for many people, the life we've known before we learn and are learning of a different way of life, a life of following Jesus, right? Living out the character of Christ. That calling is sealed upon us all in the name of Jesus Christ. And it is an irrevocable calling. When you come to Jesus, Jesus is calling you to go out and to influence the world with the good news. Here's the thing about Jesus. He never takes back that calling. It is on your life for the rest of your life. There are days when you don't want it to be, but it's still there. There are days when it's super tough. Because instead of loving your enemy, you'd rather do and say something different. But the calling is still there. When your kids are like, feel like they want to just, you know, like, I just want to pull my hair out. They don't listen. They won't do what I'm saying. You go, this is not all it's chalked up to be. The calling is still there. Have you been a parent of two kids? Hey, I've been a kid myself. When it's the toughest is when the calling is maybe most important. Because what you do when it's hard says that you've accepted the calling. And will you pay the cost to see that calling through? Will you? How many of you like the idea that there's a cost? Probably not a soul wants to raise their hand. I don't really want to raise my hand because when I think about a cost, I start thinking about what I have to give up, which is inherent in the word cost, right? Like it's going to require me to give something. And when I think about having to give away something or having to go without something that maybe I have grown fond of or I like or I've gotten used to, then that gets a little, I don't know. Like, really? Like, maybe that much? Like, is it seriously that? I kind of like that. I've kind of gotten used to this. You see, here's the thing. So let's talk. Can we talk about cost for a moment? Let's talk about this, because I think this is the one thing that people in the church, and come in the church, a few folks that hear about the gospel, and if you want to treat, I think if you want to preach a true, honest gospel, then it is a gospel that it has, there's a calling, and there is a cost to follow Jesus. I think if we preach a gospel that just says God is calling you, but doesn't also say, hey, look, there's a cost to following Jesus, which he clearly teaches in the gospels, and then there's a choice, then we preach and we share an incomplete gospel. Because we're not calling people to consume Jesus. We're calling people to choose Jesus. We're not calling them to just believe in their head a truth. We're calling them to serve the truth with their heart. You need to know who and what it means to serve the truth. Okay? There is a calling, there is a cost, and there is a choice. Calling and a cost always go together. You say, well, that's not fair. I don't like that. I know, but that's the way he's done it. A calling and a cost always go together. So let me share with you why. When God calls you, he's calling you to more than you are today. He's calling you to do more in his name than you can do today in and of yourself. He's calling you to a greater life than you can possibly achieve in and of your own strength. Now, I'm not preaching something prosperity. I'm preaching the reality that, look, the best version of yourself is possible through the grace of God. It is through Jesus that you will become the best version of yourself in Christ. But the truth is that it comes through Christ. So when God calls you and he calls me, he's calling us to say yes, but he's also calling us to say, look, when I call you, I'm calling you to be more, which means you will have to die to self and live for Christ. That you will need to count the costs. You say, costs? What do you maybe you mean by that? Being willing to die to the craving for whatever the body feels it just wants to have. Dying to the craving for whatever the eyes see and they just want to have. And dying to the arrogant pride in one's possessions, seeing and going, I got to have this in my life to have a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction. I'm happy. I got to have this stuff. And yet the challenge is None of those are attractive. All of those are distractive. Because they distract people from the one that we're supposed to be pointing them to, and it's Jesus. You see, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it's all about me. You can't say yes to the calling of Christ and live your life being all about me. Therefore, in 1 John 2:16, John says you have to die to these things. But that's the power of the cross, right? Because through the cross, we know that Jesus died so that we can die to those things. That we can, through the resurrection, be reborn to new life, a new creation in Christ. That we do have hope. There is hope for a better life than we have known before Jesus. But it does come with a cost. Let's put a, you know, I say, let's put a skin on this. Let's think of it like this. Okay, God. You ever had those times where you're like with God talk, you know, and it's just, okay, all right, God. If you want me to say no to something that's in my life right now, or maybe something that I'm doing in my life, or something I'm consuming, bringing into my life, if you want me to say no to that so that I can have room to say yes more to you, I'm willing to pay that cost. To go without those things. Holy Spirit, lead the way. Okay, God. So, if you want me to live a simpler life so that I can help others more simply live, I'm willing to give away those things that I still be fine, and you will provide, but I can be a blessing to somebody else. Okay, God, if you want me to be more intentional at home with my conversations with my family so that I am putting the focus more on you instead of on my own problems and opinions, please give me the strength and the wisdom to do that. Holy Spirit, lead the way. Well, God, if you want me to start meeting regularly with someone so that they might pour into my life and help me keep growing up in Christ, or I might be able to do that with somebody else, Lord, I was like, I feel like I got a long way to go, but if there's somebody else you want me to come alongside, then Lord, I don't know how that's going to exactly work, but Holy Spirit, lead the way. Lord, you want me to participate in a small group? I ain't never done that before in my life. You want me to teach a lesson in my small group? God, you got to be crazy, because I think you're calling me to launch a small group, and I ain't never done that. How in the world would I do that? Holy Spirit, lead the way. You want me to go out of my way and talk to my neighbor to build a relationship that I, Lord, I don't know what to say, but Holy Spirit, lead the way. You want me to forgive my coworker who never really has anything nice to say, and it makes me mad every time they talk? God, you're getting personal now. Well, Holy Spirit, lead the way. This is as political as I will get today. For some folks today in the current climate, there's still some are happy, some are frustrated, you know? Lord, I don't know where our country is going to go. And I'm a little anxious. But Lord, your church will survive. Because the gates of hell will not overcome your church. And so regardless of who sits in a political office, we belong to the kingdom before we ever belong to a nation. We are called to pay the cost and make the choice to serve the King and his kingdom. Our story comes with a calling, it comes with a cost, and it comes with a choice. to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with every moment of our lives that we have until the Lord brings us home. That is an irrevocable calling. Final chapter. I believe this. You ready? This is going to be fun. I believe this. I believe that there is good news. In the light of the stories that I've told, in the story that is happening right now today in the life of God's church here on the earth, I believe there is good news. I believe that there are two reasons why you and I are going to be effective in our calling. Anybody want to take a guess as to what they are? Oh, they're on the screen. Here's the thing. Through your faith in Jesus Christ, let me tell you some good news. The Holy Spirit of God is upon you. The presence of God is within you. You have God with you wherever you go. And no matter what situation you stand in, you have the Spirit of God upon you. You have the power of God within you. You have the patience of God within you. You have the gifts of God available that He will bring to you to use as you need them in that moment for His calling on you. You have the power and the provisions of a powerful and mighty God who said, "Let there be light," and there was what? There was light. Do you realize you stand upon this earth and the one who put this earth into existence is the one who lives and dwells within you as the people of God? That is good news. Because making disciples, it's costly. But there's good news. Because also you have the church around you. Check this out. Oh my gosh, look how, listen how sweet this is. We get the privilege to be inspired and encouraged as we worship corporately. Online, on site, together as the New Hope family, we get that privilege together. And the Holy Spirit brings it all together, makes it all work. It's amazing. We get the privilege to be comforted, to be loved, to be challenged. We need to be challenged. Let us never be satisfied with the status quo, but always leaning ahead into growing more and more in Christ. For our greatest days are still ahead of us. And we have each other. We have Christian mentors. We have spiritual friends who come alongside us. We get to come alongside as well. And we get to journey together as one, united in Jesus. They get to be there for us when we need them. And we get to do the same thing. We get to be there when somebody needs us. Somebody needs us not to fix their problems, but to just stand present in their life and say, "I got your back. You're not going to go through this alone. I'll be present with you." And you just are present there with them and you just love them where they are. We get the privilege to have people speak truth into our lives and to speak truth in the lives of other folks. We have that privilege to come alongside and experience growing healthier as individuals and as a church family together. Like, that is a serious privilege that we have. It's beautiful. It's powerful. One of the things that I have, through my life story, grown to really appreciate about the church is that in the church, we have people who come alongside us and help us heal. Maybe you're at a place having, you know, coming through this year where you're standing and trying to hold it all together and you feel like maybe I'm making a little bit of progress, but like, man, I'm still just broken over everything that's happened previously. And I just need healing to happen in my life. Like, I don't know about everybody else, but I just know in my life I need healing. The church is a body that helps us heal through grace. we are better together. Not just with God, but with each other. And I know that for many of you, like, you know that, don't you? Like, I've heard that for years and years. I can't tell you how many times I've heard a preacher get up there and preach on that. Well, good. You get to hear it again today. Because as we move forward, we need each other. You're online, we need you. Those that are here, you need us. We're together. We need each other. And together, we'll do great things for Christ. But only if we do them together. Which means we have to allow each other sometimes to stumble and fall. And they feel like they fail. And we may look at it and go, well, I wish I could have done better that time. You know what? There's plenty of times where, you know what, you and I have made mistakes and we have slipped up and we have fallen. And people probably looked at us and said that. But you know what? They came alongside us and they loved us and they built us up and they put their arm around us and they said, I love you and I'm with you. Let's keep going together. And I bet if you've had somebody do that in your life, it made all the difference because you knew they loved you for you, just like God loves you for you, and just like he's called you. And just like he knows the cost that you and I make on a daily basis, the cost. And just like he looks at you, puts that cloak around you, and says, follow me. With power from on high, follow me. And we'll change the world together for good. So, here it is. If you knew that you had everything that you needed, if you knew that you had people around you and you weren't going to do it by yourself, people were going to hold you up, walk with you, and that you got to do that for others, if you knew that God was with you and that God was going to work effectively through you, would you be willing to say, this is the way? Let me pray for us. God, we thank you for the stories that we have of your faithfulness to people who have chosen to walk by faith and not by sight. They've chosen to believe. Lord, we didn't mention Abraham, but I can't help but think of him. You called him. Boy, he left the life he knew, he paid the cost to be obedient to your calling on his life, and he chose you when other people weren't choosing you, didn't understand what it meant to have this obedient faith like he had. Lord, help us to be an Abraham. Help us to be an Elisha. Help us to be the disciples. But above all, I ask that your Holy Spirit would help us to be ourselves. For you have called us, uniquely called every one of us to follow you. Give us strength in hard times and wisdom to make that choice every day. And that together with you, boy, we're going to make a huge difference in the world as we go forth in the name of Jesus. I ask your blessing in Jesus' wonderful and powerful name. Amen.